الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فأما بعد فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون My dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Today we are gathered here for Eid al-Adha to listen to the khutbah and to pray in thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu for granting us this great day and granting us a way of pleasing Him. And therefore it would do us well to remind ourselves of the spirit of sacrifice that we are about to make. Today the best ibadah that you and I can possibly do is the udhiyah, the qurbani. There is nothing that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more on this day than the sacrifice. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said in a hadith in Imam Ahmad, he said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in Medina for 10 years and every year he slaughtered an animal. And this is in Musnad Imam Ahmad and it's a Sahih hadith. Zaid bin Arqam radiallahu anhu reports that the Sahaba asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, what is this sacrifice? He said, it is the way of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam. They asked him, what reward is for us in it? He replied, there is a reward for every hair of the animal that you slaughter. They asked, if it's a sheep, what about the wool? Rasulullah ﷺ said, there is one reward for every strand of wool. And this also is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. Rasulullah ﷺ said, the son of Adam does not do any action on the day of sacrifice which is more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the sacrifice of animals. And this is in Tirmidhi and Sunan Ibn Majah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah ﷺ said, whoever can afford to offer a sacrifice but does not do so, let him not approach our place for prayer, which is the Eid Salah. And this is in Musnad Imam Ahmad and Ibn Majah. And is also a Sahih Hadith. What is meant by the one who can afford is somebody who has the nisab of zakat on the day of Eid. Man or woman, whoever has the nisab of zakat on the day of Eid, then this is obligatory on that person to sacrifice an animal. Some of the a'imma have said that it is a sunnah mu'akkada. Others have said it is wajib and fard. But nobody said it need not be done. So let us understand that very clearly. And very important for us to do that. The sacrifice is an individual responsibility on the person. It is not for the whole family. The barakah is for the whole family. But you don't have to sacrifice one animal for every individual of the family if those people are not actually liable to pay zakat. So it's for only the persons who are in a family. If there are 10 people but only one of them is liable to pay zakat, then one sheep is sufficient for that person to sacrifice. The confusion comes because people say one sheep is sufficient for the family. It's not an issue of family. It's a individual responsibility on the person which he or she must discharge, just like we do the responsibility of zakat. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that we are called Muslims because our father Ibrahim alayhi salam named us as Muslims by his statement and by his action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Sammakumul Muslimin. My brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you that the meaning of being Muslim is to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question, without argument, without reservation, and without hesitation. To submit joyfully and eagerly. That is the symbol of our trust in Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. And that trust is what earns His pleasure and His help. That is why the iconic symbol of Islam is the sajda, a state of total submission and helplessness, a state of total unhesitating obedience, a symbol of total trust and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the sujood, the sajda, is haram to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The life of Ibrahim alayhi salam is a symbol of all of these things. The reward of tawakkul, which is reliance and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the nusrah, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is not subject to any of His laws. Remember, tawakkul comes only and only from obedience. You cannot live a life of disobedience and expect your heart to be filled with the noor of tawakkul. The whole journey of Hajj is a reminder for us about obeying not because it is convenient or pleasant or logical, but because we love Allah. And this is what He, Jalla Jalaluhu, told us to do. We put on the ihram, which is neither graceful nor comfortable. We make sa'i commemorating what our mother Hajar alayhi salam did. She did it for a reason. For us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her action the reason. We stand in Arafah on the day of Hajj instead of being at the Kaaba. We pick up stones in Muzdalifah and throw them at the Jamarat in Mina. Not one of these rituals is either reasonable nor logical. But then, love is neither reasonable nor logical. Love is to leave all reason and logic for the only one who is worthy of being loved. And that is why Allama Iqbal rahmatullah alayhi said, Subah azal ye mujhse kaha Jibreel ne jo aqal ka ghulam ho wo dil na kar qubool. He said, on the day the creation began, Jibreel said to me, do not accept a heart which is subject to the mind. The spirit of the Udhiya, the Qurmani, is submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submission when every action of submission may well be painful to yourself. When submitting to the will of Allah may mean denying yourself something that you find pleasant. When submission may seem to be even a source of loss or even harmful to the one who looks at it with eyes blinded by the dunya. But to the one who sees with the eyes of taqwa, as Ismail alayhi salam did, he will see the blessing behind it. He will see the beauty of fulfillment of the purpose of our very existence in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question. To seek His pleasure above all else and to be prepared to sacrifice our dearest possessions, actions and desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hajj, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُهُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَ مِنْكُمْ كَذَلِكَ سَخَّرَهَ لَكُمْ لِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ خَوَانٍ كَفُورٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is neither their meat nor their blood that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is taqwa, the piety from you, that reaches Him. Thus we have made them subject to you, that you may magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His guidance to you. And give glad tidings, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the muhsinun. Truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends those who believe. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like any treacherous ingrate, those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose of Udhiyah, the Qurbani, is to inculcate the spirit of submission, of sacrificing our personal desires to win the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become among those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Al-Muhsinun. It was the blessed sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he used to advise the women, especially on Eid day. In keeping with that sunnah, I would like to advise my sisters in Islam that the example of Hajara alayhi salam is an excellent example for us, for them, and for the men to follow. Hajara alayhi salam was an African slave of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sarah alayhi salam, who historians estimate lived between 1930 and 1840 BC. So Ibrahim alayhi salam's time to now is roughly 4,000 years. Ibrahim alayhi Sarah alayhi salam gave her slave Hajara to Ibrahim alayhi salam, who freed her and married her. And from her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him his first son, Ismail alayhi salam. Here was a woman who, on the one hand, was obedient enough to her husband to accept the fact that he was leaving her and her infant son alone in an uninhabited valley on the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a series of lectures of mine on Ibrahim alayhi salam. Those who are interested can listen to them and watch them, where all of these things, I have mentioned them in detail. So she was obedient enough to allow him to leave her in this uninhabited valley. A son that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them after decades of dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was now ordering him to leave his wife and child in the wilderness. Then she had enough tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to know that if he, Jalla Jalaluhu, ordered this, then he would take care of them. She allowed her husband to leave and go on his way, knowing that he was doing the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali Shariati, the historian, wrote in his book about Hajj, about Hajar alayhi salam's place in the Islamic tradition. He noted, and I quote, "All of the Hajj is joined to her memory. He chose a black slave woman, the most humiliated of his creatures, to be the mother of great prophets of God and manifestations of the most magnificent values which God creates. All the Anbiya after Ibrahim alayhi salam are from the Isle of Ibrahim alayhi salam, including Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Ibrahim alayhi salam agreed to sacrifice his one son for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gave him as his sons all the Anbiya alayhimu salam until the last and final one of them." This is the result, this is the reward. The paradox, of course, is that women continue to be excluded and discriminated against at a horrifyingly high rate in Muslim countries. This is something that we, meaning the men, must think of. Muslim women are not discriminated because Islam is unjust. Muslim women are discriminated against because Muslim men are unjust. And because of our injustice, we give Islam a bad name. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us this question. The sister whose share you swallowed and did not give her will ask, what happened to her share? And she will take it from your amal on the day of judgment. That is one of the most common things that happens. The brothers swallow the share, the inheritance of the sisters. And they said, no, my father spent money on your wedding. So the father did one evil by spending money on the wedding of his daughter, and the brothers compound this evil by swallowing her inheritance, saying that this was done. My brothers and sisters, understand, one day we will die. Every single one of us will die. And then we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will answer for every single one of these things. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Then when her husband left Hajar alayhi salam, she did not sit idle, but she made effort to see how she could secure the safety of herself and her son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked that action of hers of running from Safa to Marwa and back to Safa so much that he made this a rukun, a pillar of Hajj and Umrah. Only then did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send Jibreel alayhi salam to bring forth Zamzam for them. This shows that the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes after effort is made, not before it. Then Hajar alayhi salam negotiated an agreement with the Jurhum the Yemeni tribe that came there, ensuring that she and her son retain proprietary rights over Zamzam, which was the main resource at that place. And this is a lesson that is worth learning in worldly wisdom and taking care of the affairs of this life in such a way that the family is looked after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put respect for Hajra alayhi salam in the hearts of the tribal leaders so that they honored and obeyed her. Honor comes to those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Ismail alayhi salam grew up, his mother Hajra alayhi salam put the spirit of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love for his father in the heart of the little boy, such that when his father came, he was not a stranger to him. The boy knew him, loved him, and awaited him. Then when his father Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam related his dream to his son, the son immediately accepted the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question. All this happened despite the fact that until that time, the father had not taken any direct part in the upbringing of the child. Ismail alayhi salam was the product of a single mother. But when that mother has iman and is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he jalla jalaluhu guides and protects and helps. It is not a question of how many parents, but what kind of parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created parents to guide children and teach them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's boundaries. But how can parents who transgress boundaries teach respect for boundaries to their children? How can the ignorant guide others? Society is neither corrupted nor improved by children. It is corrupted by the parents who then complain about children, conveniently forgetting their own role in their upbringing. Before we can talk about tarbiyah of children, we must look at the tarbiyah of parents. I remind you, please take the role of parenting seriously if you want children who will be a source of blessing to you and not children whose actions will light the fire in your grave. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the result of this upbringing of Ismail alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعْهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرُ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah As-Saffat, and when his son was old enough to walk with him, he said, O my son, I have seen in a dream that I am slaughtering you as a sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look, what do you see? And he said, O my father, do what you are commanded. Insha'Allah, you will find me among the sabirin, among the people of patience. My brothers and sisters, please reflect, what kind of conversation is this between a father who is over 90 years old and a son who is 10 years old or less? The father tells his son about his dream. He's not hiding things. He's not trying to, you know, create a fog. He's telling it like it is. His father tells the son about his dream where he saw himself slaughtering his son, and then says, look inside your heart, what do you see? The father stayed away all those years, and then when he returns, he's talking about slaughtering. And he's not asking his son, what do you think? What is your opinion? He asks him, what do you see? فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Look, what do you see? When I thought about this ayah, and every single time I think about this ayah, it blows me away. What must be the spiritual development of that child, that his father can confidently ask this kind of question and expect a serious answer? Imagine, what if you're talking about a 10-year-old kid or less. What kind of spiritual development are we talking about, where the father can ask this serious question and expect a serious answer? Who enabled this level of connection with Allah and this level of tazkiyatun nafs, where the child could answer, Ya abati if'al ma tumaru satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin? Who enabled this? The mother. The single mother. She brought up this child with a heart like this. My sisters, your role as a mother is simply the most critically important role that you can ever have. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to you and not to the man. Try to wrap your mind around that. and give that role the importance that it deserves. Motherhood is not about feeding the child's belly, but about feeding his soul. And for that, you must know how to cook the food of the soul. It won't simply happen because you are a woman. You have to work hard, you have to make the effort if you want a son or daughter who will not only be a credit to you in this world, but a means of thawabul jariyah when you are gone. In plain language, it means you give them twice the time, half the food and half the money that you give now. I quote from something that a dear friend sent me, and I quote, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was not poor like Abu Dharr or Abu Huraira radiallahu anhuma, but he was better than them. He wasn't perpetually tortured like Khabbab and Bilal or Sumayya and Yasir radiallahu anhu ajmain, but he was better than them. He wasn't severely injured in battle like Talha or Abu Ubaidah or Khalid radiallahu anhu ajmain, but he was better than them. He wasn't martyred like Hamza or Umar or Uthman or Ali radiallahu anhu ajmain, but he was better than them. So what was the secret that made Abu Bakr better than everyone? Bakr bin Abdullah al-Muzayri rahmatullah alayhi says, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't precede them due to offering a lot of salah and fasting, but because of something that settled in his heart. It is the actions of the heart that you see. That's what made his faith outweigh the faith of the entire ummah. The faith of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu is worth more than the faith of every Muslim that comes after him until the Day of Judgment collectively. We learn that the faith, iman, is actions of the heart combined with statement of the tongue and the actions of the limbs. And that is why when we accept Islam, what do you say? Three things are required. What are the three things? Tasdeeq bil qalb, wa iqrar bil lisan, wa amal bil arkan. Believing in the heart, saying it aloud, and acting according to that belief. So as I said, it's the actions of the heart that you see. That's what made the faith of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq outweigh the faith of the entire ummah. We learn the faith. We learn that faith is actions of the heart combined with statement of the tongue and actions of the limbs. We understood this, but we ignored the actions of the heart, even though that is its essence and core. Every act of worship has an essence and a physical manifestation. The manifestation of salah is the standing and the ruku and the sujood. But its essence is the khushu and the khudu, the humility, the awe, the reverence and the concentration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The manifestation of fasting is to withhold from everything that breaks the fast from sunrise to sunset. But its essence is taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The manifestation of hajj is the tawaf and the sa'i, the standing in Arafat and so on. But its essence is honoring the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The manifestation of dua is the raising of hands and the praise and the request, but its essence is the brokenness of the person and the need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what makes dua acceptable. You in the total sense of helplessness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The manifestation of dhikr, of saying Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah, and so on. But its essence is the remembrance and reverence and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. For on the Day of Judgment, it is the heart that will be exposed, and only those who come with a qalbun salim, there is a series of lectures of mine also on qalbun salim, with a serene heart and a heart that is repentant, they will be saved on that day. Let us then remember to monitor our hearts as severely as we monitor our actions. Actually, I should say more severely, because we don't seem to monitor the actions either. And remember that in this world we traverse distances with our feet, but in the hereafter distances are only traversed by our heart. My brothers and sisters, I would like to remind myself and you that the nusra, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, comes only to those who choose to be obedient to Him jalla jalalu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides them from sources that they could not imagine. But all that is only for the muttaqun, the obedient, and not for the fasiqun, the rebellious. Selective obedience is disobedience. When you pick and choose what you will obey, you are not obeying at all. Stop fooling yourself. You are consciously choosing to disobey. You are playing with fire. Choose your actions consciously, for you will pay for them dearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah said, and for the one who has taqwa, He Jalla Jalaluhu grants him a way out of his problems and provides for him in a manner beyond all expectation from sources that he could not imagine. And for the one who places his trust in Allah, He subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is sufficient for him. My brothers and sisters, in the kind of world we live in today, to build a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increasingly more important. Since you can only give what you have, your responsibility is twofold. You need to build a relationship for yourself as well as to create an environment at home where this concern is voiced and worked on. Remember, you can only give what you have. Only a lighted lamp can light other lamps and illuminate. So seek to build your connection with Allah. Remember that when you are lying with your breath stuck in your throat, a time that will come upon every one of us, man or woman, it is only that connection which will help. All your money and power and friends and family will not be able to do a whit to help you even to breathe easily. They can't make you live. They can't even help you to die easily. So leave them and obedience to them and leave pleasing them by displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no obedience to the creature in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And instead, cling to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter who is displeased. Remember that the only one who is displeased with obedience to Allah is Shaitan, who sometimes looks like a human being. Ignore him and recall the examples of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, who we follow. My brothers and sisters in Islam, in conclusion, I would like to remind you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask you which day you fasted for Yawmul Arafah, on which day you celebrated Eidul Adha, but He will ask you what you did to split the Ummah. So beware of falling into the trap of self-righteousness, and beware of imagining that you have this direct line to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that He is talking to you. Let us remember that to have a difference of opinion is not only permissible, but it's a sign of concern that our scholars and a'imma have for the deen. But to use that difference of opinion as a way to attack others and pronounce judgments on them and to split the ummah into groups is the work of shaitan. Stay away from such people, admonish them, warn them, ignore them, and don't follow them. I would like to wish you all a wonderful Eidul Adha. Eid Mubarak to all of you. Kullu am wa antum bi khair. And to request you, in the middle of your enjoyment of eating good food and meeting relatives and friends, to think of others, to spare a little time to remember and remind each other of the true spirit of the sacrifice, to remember and remind each other of Muslims in other parts of the world who do not have the means or the safety to celebrate this Eid. I want to remind you that many such people live right here amongst us. Let us go and look for them and bring a smile to their faces and ensure that they have a good full meal today and that their children wear good clothes. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with you and accept your worship. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.